God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and ruin their gone.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Greetings and welcome to Dog Poetlandia in the nearly perpetually hovering saucer pod. Time pulses and moves to a variegating beat. It keeps changing textures and colors so no one can keep track of it, and it becomes impossible to predict what will happen next or when that might be. It's a spooky period of smoke and warped mirrors. I've often mentioned the little-considered fact that 500 tons of dust lands on the Earth every day. Ergo, mirrors get dust on them, and if they are not attended to by some spiritual discipline, you won't be able to see your reflection in the mirror. One of the misfortunes of my state of being is that I see parallels in just about anything and everything. I don't get to get lost in things or forget about them. Some portion of me is always a part. That's supposed to be a good thing if all the other features are there, but that's not the case with everyone. And when you get to a certain place or places through unorthodox routes and practices like I did, there's always some amount of imbalance. Conversely, this can be a good thing because artistic sorts are usually unbalanced and it allows for some amount of inspiration that might not be there for the conventional sorts. I wonder sometimes that I don't even know my teacher's name, what tradition I belong to, don't seem allowed to spend any time in ashrams, and am not even allowed to meditate anymore without something unfortunate happening. If I weren't a nose-to-the-grindstone-go-with-the-flow kind of a guy, all of this could be a problem. Not worrying about anything and not being whipped about by subterranean fears is also a big help. But not knowing anything or where anything is going and what kind of sudden changes might appear leaves one dancing in the winds of uncertainty. You definitely have to have the right temperament. I do find all the mystery baffling, though, in this life of signs and wonders. Nothing adds up to anything, but it keeps threatening to. Most of us have a script in which we're aware of certain more or less stable realities and where some kind of predictable theme is apparent, but I have to make it up as I go, and there has got to be a reason for it, but I never get the reason. This last week has been one of the more horrendous periods in memory, and I was hard-pressed to understand why. It's one of those ongoing situations where nothing that is supposed to happen happens, and all kinds of things that you wish wouldn't happen sequence by in the dozens. I counted near 60 unfortunate little events in a two-hour period the other day. An astrologer that I know showed up, sort of out of the blue, and pointed out to me that there was this thing going on between Uranus and Pluto that would end around the end of the month, and the interpretation was that the cosmos is trying to tell me something. Am I getting any idea of what that is? No, I'm not, and so it goes. Anyway, in the midst of all this, I have to keep blogging, do these radio shows, finish my book, God help me, and try to attend to all the other things that keep landing on my plate. That said, let's try to salvage some useful time for this broadcast. What I have in mind dovetails right into what's been happening with me, and which is coincidentally why I brought it up. The operative terms for the times seems to be confusion and uncertainty. It's as if there were a swirl of changes taking place all around us, but you can't see them. You can feel them, but you can't see them. This tells me that undercurrents are coming to the surface, but they haven't emerged yet. What they are doing is shaking the ground of the present, creating sensations of instability, without presenting any evidence of the cause and attendant effect. This energy in the present state of negative government and financial sector action on the public is causing some terrible and unfortunate events in the lives of people who just can't handle it. Violent outbreaks are becoming a part of everyday life in the U.S. People are shooting each other all over the place. Most of the time it's the police, using the public for target practice because the people who have been recruited into the police force have been intentionally chosen from certain profiles who are prone to ongoing violence against the public. They were empowered, well, the public they were empowered to serve. Basically, they look for things like thugs and monsters. It's similar in Homeland Insecurity and the TSA, where the focus is on perverts, criminals, and psychologically maladjusted types. There's no question that this is so, because the amount of people being caught out at all sorts of unpleasant activities is impressive. One might argue that some large majority of the people are all screwed up, and it is impossible to find sane people to hire anymore. I don't think that's the case. I'm quite convinced that it's all intentional, and some amount of it is tied into the programming of military personnel who are being dehumanized on the battlefield in psychopathic engagements of murder practiced upon foreigners at the behest of bankers. This is all calculated in the work of Satanists, as are so many of the bizarre cultural conditions being forced upon the unsuspecting and often clueless population. These kinds of things are grim and spirit-killing. This is also intentional. You start to think that this is how it is, and it can only get worse. If it were true that the bad guys were actually in charge of anything, and likely continue to be, I'm afraid I could offer little hope for the future. But the truth is that all power only comes from one place, and it is routed wherever by the permission of the Almighty God, and it is done for the purpose of demonstration. It is done to show people who they are and the value and lack of value of what they are experiencing. It is done to reveal ourselves to ourselves, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. It's like the condition of empires. They always fail, and they have never prevailed upon the entire world. It can be unpleasant for long periods of time, but even then, the individual has a degree of choice where they can be and who they can be. All of their struggles and difficulties are there to show you any number of things. If you are honest, then realization will dawn in respect of your condition. If you are not honest, then you will continue to experience deception and loss until the very extremity of your condition brings you to your senses. That's what all of the horrible things taking place are all about. And it goes on until people, individually and collectively, understand why they put themselves in the position they're in. There are a number of shared illusions that are shared by large numbers of people. Some of them have to do with various expressions of sexual energy. Some of them have to do with the multiple forms of attachment. Some of them have to do with one's sense of identity in the mix. And some of them have to do with a person's position in the mix. And, of course, there are all the permutations of power and wealth, having them, not having them. These are fundamental illusions at any time. But in times of materialism, manifesting in the Kali Yuga, they can be very intense. Just witness the occupations and considerations of the many in these times and the degree of my obsessed myopia and relative blindness that attends the so-called normal operations that go on around us. Because the changes have come about in many increments over extended time, the myopic have been unable to see that they left the land of normal a long time ago. Normal is an endangered species. Seeing it is like coming upon a snow leopard in the wild. And what are the chances that most people would ever be in the location where snow leopards live? This is similar to the off chance that they will be exposed to books of wisdom or people possessing wisdom. Most people get their news and entertainment and information from variations of mass media. Their level of curiosity for locations where their belief system might be challenged is quite small. They have investments in their version of the status quo. Learning that the whole world is built on or out of insubstantial dream stuff is not something they want to consider. When they are old, should they make it that far, they will learn the meaning of act in haste and repent at your leisure, as well as where your heart is, there will be your treasures also. What I mean is the pursuit of immediate gratification and the terrifying focus on temporary things always leads to a certain state of being, because in the process of life being what it is, for the purpose of demonstration, each demonstration arrives at a certain location. The world, in times of materialism, has a powerful gravitational pull, a strong magnetism. It takes a strength of faith and persistence that most people just don't have. They could have it if their values change, but this requires life adjustments that cuts into all the gratification of self-interest, which is preeminent in these times. Some of it is reincarnation and whatever karma people are saddled with, but most of it is an unwillingness to change and the terrible fear of having to deal with reality as it is, not as it is fashioned into being for personal satisfactions. Whenever someone wants to change, help comes to one's side, and various possibilities emerge and transform into further possibilities as the person is transformed. This is available to all, and gentle promptings enter every life as life goes by. But people ignore these things, and then calamity and trauma might enter the picture, and sometimes that's enough to cause a shift in values and perspective. Often, that isn't enough either, and death becomes the final transiting into yet another life. As we know, hope springs eternal, and that's necessary given that some people seem to require an eternity to catch on. Everything going on in the culture is designed to awaken the human mind to the wrongness of its state, and it gets progressively worse as people refuse and fail to awaken to the conditions. So the conditions become ever more severe, and finally they become intolerable. I should point out that it doesn't generally matter where a person is location-wise. What matters is where a person is in their heart and mind. See, depending on where your heart and mind is, on that depends the potential for changes in your location. So you're either where you should be, which you probably are in any case, or soon to be where you're supposed to be due to the resonance of personal change on your environment. You might think of life as being resident in a state of myriad radio broadcasts, but you can only hear the one whose frequency you're tuned to. However, what most people don't realize is that there's a dial on the radio that can tune into all kinds of broadcasts, and this creates a soundtrack of your existence. Some people are singing the blues, some people are all jazzed up or jazzed down, and some people are rocking out, and some people are contemplative according to a more serene medium. Some people are listening to the silence. I often do just that, driving, well, long distances, and I almost never listen to music anymore. As I've said, I wouldn't even listen to my own if I didn't have to in the process of recording it. I'm not knocking listening to music. I've taken a lot of joy in music over time, but I'd really like to hear both the voice of the silence and the music of the spheres, and I figure if I kind of wait around with the idea that they might show up, then, well, they might show up. I figure if I keep my mind open and hold my attention in watchful expectation, then someone or something might speak to me. Now, this is the reason why I got high so often, because I could rise up the plains and converse with angelic entities and various deities. I couldn't stay there in the long term, but I sure could visit. That's about the only thing that interests me anymore. I've developed a taste for it. It's become more compelling than anything else on offer. Nothing else satisfies me for any length of time. It's for the same reason that I have little interest in the usual topics of conversation. I principally only want to talk about God. I have a friend named Roy. He is a native of India, and we get together, not often enough for me. He lives about 60 kilometers away, and when we get together, this is what we talk about. Sure, other things come into the conversation, but they always find their way back to this subject. And you know, I can comfortably sit with him for hours and be thoroughly engrossed in our exchange. I have a friend named Michael who lives fairly close by, and we also spend hours together conversing about all kinds of things. Well, often it isn't about God, but it has that aspect about it lingering in the background and, well, coming to the surface often enough to keep me engaged. We have fascinating and spirited exchanges that often become hilariously comedic. In other words, we really crack each other up, as we did a couple of weekends ago. He was basically the inspiration for the There Is No Moon concept, which actually got, you know, quite involved after a bit. I don't spend very much time talking about the sort of things most people spend their time on. These things just don't interest me. I'm not seeking to knock other people's interests. To each their own. I'm just not interested. I'm not interested in where most people are going. I'm not interested in the things they are after. and I don't share most of their tastes and interests. I could leave this planet and walk into another world at any time and not look back. I wouldn't have to think about it. And I hold myself in readiness to do just that, because one of these days, I will. One of these days, every one of us will. Most of us will accomplish this via death, but not all of us. As it says in the Bible, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Something to keep in mind. Well, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and it's time for me to say that I'll see you next week if there is one. May you find your own kind of serenity. That is my hope for you, and the possibilities for it are very real, and the acquisition of it is based on your desire and determination. That said, Om Amitabha, Alhamdulillah, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, greetings Lord Ganesha, Aloha, and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.